Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 491, Pre-3 Halo Hype, recorded live on June 11th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your other host, BioWolf.
We've got a lot of Halo 5 news coming to you out of Game Informer next month's issue, which is out this month if you're a digital subscriber to Game Informer. It has a lot of Halo 5 coverage a few days just before E3 too, and there's lots of stuff we have to talk about tonight. We'll probably won't get to everything in the Game Informer issue, but we'll get to a lot of the high points tonight. And of course, we have Mr. Hossost with us again.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Mr. Godzilla T in the house tonight as well.
Hello.
Hello. We got some exciting news, gentlemen. We have some very big info. Some very big info coming out tomorrow as well. And then we have E3. We're just getting this massive Halo dump. And I don't know if I can take much more. Personally, we've got so much Halo info. Yeah, we've got so much Halo info that my mind doesn't even know what to do. I'm so mentally just exhausted from all the Halo news, but I want so much more Halo news as well. But we're going to break down as much of the Game Informer stuff as possible for you guys. And there's some other little announcements that we're going to be mentioning as well regarding some of the other Halo news that we'll get in the next couple of days, and what we'll expect at E3. Game Informer gave us a little sneak peek at what to expect, so we'll get to cover that. But first things first, we got the Game Informer cover, which was the first thing that got announced as part of this info dump. And it's going off the same theme of stuff, the Sanghelios background with the Guardian and Locke and Blue Team. And if you're on the stream right now, it's what the background for the stream is. And I have to say, it actually looks pretty nice. I like the team, or the team picture there with Blue Team. Then you have Locke in the background. You also have the Guardian in the back, which actually looks somewhat like a space alien of sorts. And then you have a few different Banshees and, of course, Sanghelios background, which I don't know what keep that's supposed to be in the background, but overall it's a pretty neat cover for their issue.
Yeah, it looks pretty sick. It looks awesome.
I love that Blue Team's on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locke looking over him is cool, but let's be real. Blue Team's the stars here.
Exactly. The only thing I wish that we had for this is there wasn't the watermarks on it. That way I could actually use it as a wallpaper. But yeah,
yeah. It looks, I'm sure that day is coming.
Still use it as a wallpaper.
It doesn't fit the dimensions. It's not an exact 16 by 9.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I haven't downloaded it yet, so.
It's not quite a 16 by 9 picture.
Make it a 16 by 9 and cut their feet off.
Anyone get the feeling that Sanghelios will be a very beautiful place to be, even though the color palette isn't that wide, especially from what we're seeing?
Well, from what they've described in the books, Sanghelios, other than, you know, having a red sun, is a very beautiful place to live. I mean, yeah, they depicted a lot of it in these pictures as, you know, the red desert, but they have, you know, farms, and they have, you know, they have green spaces, or what passes for green spaces for them. Yeah, it's not going to look like Earth.
I look at that picture and, like, yes, it looks like a barren desert, but I just, for some reason, I look at it and I don't know. It just looks like one of those places I'm excited for, not only for the story aspect of it and wanting to go there, but I don't know. I think it would be fun to look at.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, and I'm not making fun of anything, but like, it honestly reminds me of Indian Architect. Like the, I can't remember what it's called now. The giant white buildings, the eighth wonder of the world.
Taj Mahal
kind of reminds me of that.
I think, like, more Egyptian.
It's over that way. I mean, there's just a lot of similar.
I mean, they're probably gaining inspiration from all sorts of areas. So
yeah, I mean, it looks pretty sick, though. I'll give them that. Like, I was expecting Sanghelios to look a little bit different, to be honest. Like, I honestly thought it would look different just from the Covenant weapons that we've seen. Like, I would think it would look different, not the way it looks here.
Well, from what they've, you know, like I said, what they've described in the books, it pretty much looks like what I thought it would. It, to a point, it looks a lot more, I'm trying to say, a lot more advanced than I kind of imagined it. You know, I kind of imagined.
Really?
Like adobe houses, stuff like that.
Hmm.
Except for in the case where you had the Forerunner buildings and then you would see the Forerunner aspect.
Right.
I just imagined, you know, this is for the, you know, the outskirts and the keeps. The cities, I basically imagined about what they saw, about what you see there in the background. But like out in the countryside, I'd imagine, you know, like stone houses with thatch roofs, stuff like that.
See, I just didn't expect city like that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, I didn't expect buildings. Like, I expected, like, structures, but not, like, on top of each other like that. It's really different compared to, like, I wasn't thinking adobe or anything like that, and, like, anything close to that. Like, I was expecting buildings and different things like that, but it just looks different. Like, it really does. It looks completely different than what I thought it would look like.
I guess the best way I could describe how I saw their cities were kind of like in, almost like Indiana Jones.
Hmm.
You know, that type of environment where you have a lot of, you know, a lot of street markets, things like that.
Okay. I can kind of see that. I can understand where you're
and
coming.
I don't really know where I got that image stuck in my head from, because they don't really do a whole lot of description of, you know, the types of buildings and stuff, except for when they're talking specific buildings like the temples and stuff like that, and then they'll go into some detail, but the general buildings they never really describe. So I don't know, I've just kind of always had that Indiana Jones Indian marketplace idea in my head.
Interesting. I do think it's a little, just from my interpretation of reading the books and most of the stuff that I'm kind of pulling this more from the Kilo 5 trilogy stuff that I read, but I was expecting a little more variety in color other than just kind of the red or clay colored dunes of St. Helios. I was expecting a little more green and other things. So I'm kind of with Haas, where it's like I was expecting something other than just the clay color, but knowing that it is kind of off of a sun that is more red colored, and it makes sense. I would just expect a little more color. And we might see this. Most of the shots that we've seen have been either from far away or have only been of certain sections of what we assume to be certain keeps.
Well, there's a lot of other places. Different missions. I mean, how many different vistas did we visit on Earth in Halo 2 and 3?
True.
Or on a Halo ring? You know, there's planets can be pretty big sometimes.
Mm-hmm. They also just could be doing it just to keep everything consistent, so you get that feel that you're in the same place, you know, from the original concept piece to current, you know, the Chief's trailer, the concept art, and, you know, all the arts kind of had that same feeling. I mean, it hadn't been an exact duplicate, but it's all right. Had that, you know, the sandy type look. So it could be just something as simple as they're just trying to keep everything tied together. So, you know, you can see that, okay, well, this is all kind of taking place in the same area. I'm sure right. We'll find other, you know, I'm sure we'll see other scenery. You know, we'll probably see a green space or blue space or a red space. You know, I don't know what color the grass is on St. Helios, but we'll probably see, you know, some place that has vegetation and stuff like that.
Going over the high level stuff on the cover release article that they put out, they mentioned that you're going to be playing as a fire team throughout the whole campaign. So whether you're playing as a single player campaign or co-op, you're always going to have four people there playing with you. So you'll have, if you're playing solo, it'll be yourself as the chief, with the three other members of your fire team, or you as Locke, depending on which side you're on. Or you can have co-op buddies come in and fill in those character roles, and each one of them are going to have specific loadouts to their abilities.
And the thing I like about that is that they did mention that, you know, your friends can hop in and out and just take over one of the AI players.
So Hang on, the siren's going by.
Kaboom.
So one of the things about that I'm wondering is, I know they said your friends could jump in and out, but I'm wondering if that's more like you can come and fill the role and then start up the campaign mission, because you haven't had anywhere where you can just jump into a campaign session and join a player.
Well, the way they worded it in this article, now granted, it could be another one of those misspoke things, but it sounds like they have basically join in progress for campaign.
That's what I've read, how I've read it as well.
I'm not going to believe that until they explicitly say join in progress.
Well, if everything's supposed to be dedicated.
Yeah.
Not if you're starting single player, I don't see how that would be. There'd be no reason to run a single player campaign on a dedicated server.
Well, the AI is going to run off cloud servers. It's not going to run off the Xbox.
I don't know.
With the depth of what they're trying to do with Halo 5, if they just put forth a standard Halo campaign, it could run on the Xbox. But when you start adding that complicated of an AI, you need more processing power.
But look what they did for Reach. You had a whole team of AI there with you.
They were scripted, though. You could not command them.
Yeah.
It's like the Marines and Halo. That's just all the rest of Halos.
That's just an extension of scripting, though.
In Rainbow Six Vegas 2, 3, and in Republic Commando, as Happy Zeus has said in there, you could command your troops.
You could do that in Mass Effect. You could command AI to do certain acts.
I mean, this isn't like huge innovation. And every Halo game, they go, oh, the AI is way better and smarter. Okay.
And it winds up being stupider.
Yeah.
It's the way they're describing this AI is it's a lot more intelligent. You know, we're not going to get Cat that drives you off the cliff.
I would not guarantee that until we actually got the game in hand.
You're in the turret, you can tell them where to go.
Yeah. I'm not really think I'm going to actually instruct one of the AI to drive the vehicle. I'll let them shoot and I'll drive. Because I don't trust the computer to drive, especially after Cat.
Right.
But it just, you know, the way they described it, and I wish I could find the point in the article that says it, but it sounds like it's going to be a join in progress.
Until they explicitly say that, I don't believe it. I really don't.
They did say drop in and drop out.
Did they explicitly say drop in and drop out?
I believe so.
That's if I'm remembering correctly, and GT's remembering it as such, and it looks like in the chat they're saying so.
So if someone can say what page it's on, I'll look it up while we're here. But
and Gears 3 had drop in and drop out.
Right, I know that, but with Halo, I would like to see that.
I think it's hard to believe. I guess.
Well, so let me rephrase that. I think it's technically very possible. I just think from the standpoint of clarification, it needs to be explicitly stated. And the way it was phrased, or the way I've seen it phrased so far, it wasn't explicitly stated that, yes, you can actually drop in and drop out of a live session. Because dropping is like you can drop into a party and then you can start the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So until it's explicitly stated that you can do that, then I'm not going to believe that it's there.
I put it like this. If it happens, I'd be happy. I mean, we've seen things in the past where they said, like, they hinted and they pointed at the
Uh-oh, we lost Bio.
Down goes Bio Wolf.
I'm not saying I disbelieve in the ability to do it. I'm not saying that. I'm thinking it's just going to be something that it's... I just want the official confirmation. And whether it's there, great. If it's not, fine. I mean, it's not losing anything, but it's gaining a cool feature. So just if that's the case, then it is. But I'm just saying, let's wait until it's for sure that's the way it is. Happy Zoo. What page is it on in the Game Informer thing? I have it up in my browser. It's going to be hard to click through and read the whole thing at the same time. If that is a thing, though, I think that's great. I love the idea of, and the thing that I kind of go to is Left 4 Dead, because that was the first game that I really experienced where you can jump into someone's game and take over an AI character. So it's technically possible. I completely support that, and if they can do it, I think they should. If they are doing it, fantastic.
Actually, I think my reservation. It was in the video was with the, where they said it.
Yeah, but even then, I wasn't fully convinced.
I mean, I think that's where I heard. That's where I'm getting it from. Is the video at the end of the article?
Okay, that's something we might be able to clarify at E3, or they'll probably talk about it during their press brief. The next thing on the little overview that they gave was they revealed who Fireteam Osiris is, the complete team. So that's the Spartan Locke team, for those who don't know, who are guessing at that. And for everyone at home playing the Who is the Red Spartan game, everyone was probably wrong. turns out the Red Spartan is Olympia Vale, and we'll get into that in a little bit. So the full team of Fireteam Osiris is Jameson Locke, Holly Tanaka, Olympia Vale, and Edward Buck. So we have both Blue Team and Fireteam Osiris fully fleshed out, and we know who everyone is now. And whether you're playing as Locke or as Chief or a mix of their fire team, you will always have your fire team with you, either AI or having your friends come in and play co-op. Now, another thing they said, or actually 343 came and specified afterwards, I think Josh Holmes made a tweet about this, or either Frankie posted this on Gaff, but you will not be able to do co-op local.
Yeah, I got a problem with that.
Quite a few people do. And one of the justifications behind that was to keep the 60 frames per second experience. So everything is, unfortunately, you have to have your own Xbox and you have to have your own TV in order to play co-op campaign for Halo 5 Guardians.
See, the whole, them trying to say that to keep the 60 frames per second experience, like, to me, that's kind of a, almost a cop-out. You have a split screen thing. You don't need it to have in 60 frames per second. Like, you just don't. Like, if you want to have a split screen, like, I split screen now with my little brother just to play Halo because he doesn't have an Xbox One. That's how he's experienced Halo 2 so far, you know? And, like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of a big thing for me.
I think it's going to be a big deal for that few people that do that, like yourself, but almost any Xbox owner is going to have Live, and the days of split screening are almost the same as the days of LANing. It's just not as relevant and it's not as needed. I know for me and my brothers, yes, I had the first Xbox in the house and we split screened for a while, but then slowly but surely we had three Xboxes in the house and we didn't ever need to split screen unless there was a LAN. And then Xbox Live came out. Halo 2 came out, and then nobody split screened. We just stayed at our own homes in our respected rooms, and that's how we played. I mean, the virtual couch is becoming more and more, and that couch buddy aspect of Halo and video games in general is just kind of phased away.
Yeah, you know, I'm sad to see it go, and it's going to piss off a lot of people. It already has. The people that truly buy the game for the, you know, I want to play with my brother, or I want to play with my sister, or I want to play with my dad. You know, I want to play campaign. I don't want to have to mess with Live. I just want to play campaign, but I want to play with friends, you know, that come over to my house. I think it's more a sign of the times than it is a technical issue. Regardless of when it happens, I've always felt that it was probably going to go away, and they were, I don't want to say looking for a good excuse to make it go away, but I guess that's as good as anything, because it happened with me too, in Halo 2. You know, me and my friends, we used to get together to play Halo. Of course, our lives got more complicated because we got older and more responsibilities, so we got Xbox Live, and then we'd maybe, you know, get together and play on one console once a year, twice a year, you know, whenever we got together for a party or something like that. So I'm not discounting that thing. That is, you know, that is a part of Halo. I hope they find a way to bring it in, but I just don't see it happening. And it's frustrating to see something like that leave.
I think it's one of those things that, because look at Halo 4, they did push the graphic goal, fidelity of that game to the max. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Halo 5 on Xbox One. And I think to Haas's point, there's a good amount of groups or families out there that they have their own Xbox and they have their own TV, but there is still a good portion, I think, of Xbox people that have one Xbox because they can only afford one Xbox and they share an Xbox. And if they want to play with their kids or their family members or their spouse or whatever, they're used to playing on that split screen experience. And that corner of Halo isn't as insignificant as I think as people think it is.
Oh yeah. It's a large part of the community. It's just unfortunately that's the way the games are going.
Well, for me, whenever I go home, I play Halo with my brothers and my dad. I can't do that anymore because Halo 5 Guardians is only going to have two-player split-screen multiplayer. So we can't play as a family anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure you can. You just got to go to Master Chief Collection.
That's not the latest and greatest, though.
No, it's not the latest and greatest. But, well, I mean, Titanfall doesn't support split-screen, does it?
That's a new IP, though. And it does support two-player split-screen, I think. But you have to think that Halo is built off of a certain fan base, and you isolate certain part of those fan bases by removing some of that stuff. I mean, this is the same kind of argument that we had about removing elites from being used in multiplayer that we had the other day on Twitter.
Yeah. It's to gain new things, you got to lose something.
Yeah.
They have a finite amount of resources. If they could back it down to a 720p game again, and at 30 frames per second, they probably would have the room to do the split screen, you know, where you could have four-player co-op for campaign and for matchmaking. It's, you know, there's several games out there that are going through this, and then some of them are spanning generations of games, and that's the limiting factor. You know, they have to keep the game to where it'll run on an older generation, and that's not what I'm talking about here. But, you know, even as powerful as Xbox One is, it has limitations.
Yeah.
And video takes a lot of resources. So I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm sure, you know, to get it, we'd have to give up something else. So you kind of got to ask yourself, right, what, you know, what's more important to you? And it's going to be different for every person, you know.
It's just one of the things that's the way the console market is evolving now. So, and it's a way for them to push copies, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I don't think that's the main reason why they're doing it. I think there is technical reasons, and I kind of believe them for the technical reasons of why they're doing it the way they're doing it. It's just one of those things that, a lot of people aren't very happy about that.
Hey, at least they're not doing co-op like they used to.
Well, and co-op used to be super laggy.
Yeah, well, and now you...
What I'm talking about is like the old Nintendo games where you took turns.
Oh, God. No. I remember those.
All right. You know, at least we're not going back to that.
Mm.
But it's, you know, most of the time when I play, pretty much all the time I play nowadays, it's me on my own Xbox.
Right.
You know, I never get together with friends anymore. Most of my local friends that I used to play Xbox with no longer play Xbox. They don't play video games. But I hope that if they can find a way, they put it in.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Anyways, the next thing that's on the big list is, or at least I think it's one of the big things on the list, is the reveal or the tease of a new underwater map, which is pretty cool. So I don't know if this is going more towards the fact that Spartans can actually swim underwater now.
I doubt it.
From what I saw from the little picture, yeah, you're underwater, but you're on a ship or a base.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not swimming.
It's like an underwater facility. Like,
but one can hope, right?
Shark movie with all the smart sharks.
Oh my God. Smart sharks? What?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know. Samuel Jackson's in it. And Ella.
I know which one he's talking about, sadly.
Oh, you mean you're not talking about
Deep Blue Sea. There you go. Anyways, that doesn't matter. But they, in the description, they did say, like, there's a pit that you can fall in that, like, you drown. So Spartans can't swim. but they can fall from space.
It's true.
It's quite a unique armor set.
Yeah, fall 6 million miles from space and get 2 inches of water, you die.
Yeah, interesting how Halo physics.
I don't even know about that. Not in Halo 2 Anniversary, apparently not. You go in 2 inches of water, you're done. I found that out real quick.
We just can't go out that far. The barrier is so freaking close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wish they hadn't pushed that barrier that close in.
Me too. Because I wanted to make Team Bubble Bath on there, but I couldn't. So I had to go back to Halo 3.
And talk about Lag City.
Wow.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, though. It's so much fun. It's even slower on the Xbox One because it's trying to match the 60 frame rate. So on the 360, it's actually better to play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The last thing for the cover article, and there's more stuff that we'll get to in the actual Game Informer magazine and some of the other stuff that got tweeted out. But there's going to be an all-new multiplayer mode that's going to be shown off at 343, the likes of which we've never seen in a Halo game before.
Mm-hmm.
This has got me really interested.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are very interested. It's like, because most of the stuff that you would think for Halo, we've kind of seen. It's one of those things.
Did they
that
say
I
if this was multiplayer, right? They did say multiplayer.
This is a new multiplayer thing, and this is something I believe they said is going to be available at E3 to play for those that are going, I think. But they're gonna be showing it off probably during the press brief.
What if it was like space combat, like Halo Reach, but in form of multiplayer? Maybe there's two space stations and you got ship warfare between the two bases. I don't know. Like a giant boarding action, but with vehicle warfare, which would probably mean, I don't know. I truly love how Big Team Battle has always been, but a lot of people have always wanted the bigger player count. I'm personally not in huge favor of that.
But I hope it's something that's going to expand something on Big Team Battle. We haven't seen anything from BTB at all. We only seen the 4v4 Slayer, and we had the Breakout, mm-hmm. which was a really interesting game mode. So if they're going to do something that's going to be a brand new game mode, unlike something we haven't seen Halo before, like it needs to be something Big Team B.
Well, that's why I think like space combat would be sweet.
Space yeah.
vehicle combat, but I mean, you're starting to throw too many eggs in too many different types of baskets. That's getting away from the Halo formula.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. Like, I love Big Team Battle. I wish it was bigger. Like the fact that
in some situations you'll notice players quitting less, but then in other situations you're going to notice it even more.
Yeah,
because they're going to have to make the bigger bases or the bigger maps to accommodate all these players. And if it's not Halo 4 drop in, drop out like a Call of Duty, it's even tougher.
Yeah, but did they confirm that that's not what they're going with the matchmaking?
I don't know if they confirmed that for Halo 5. I know they did for MCC. I have not seen anything on that or
because
I don't know anything on Halo 5.
I don't think they're going to have a join in progress in Halo 5.
If it's not join in progress, if you're kicking the other teams, you know what? Players are going to quit. They don't. It ranks will help that, but it's not going to fix it.
No. Join in progress is something that people have been hounding about for the last few weeks. Like, that is one thing I have noticed on Twitter is like, it'd be nice if join in progress would be in there. You know, that way I wouldn't be on a team by myself. At least some people would join back in. Like, I'm sorry, but the why they took that out, I don't have a clue. The only thing I know is that
ranked games, that's pointless. If it's just for like your XP skills, yeah, that's fine. But if it's going to be a ranked playlist or it's going to affect any rank, I'm doing horribly, let me quit before it gets even worse. That's just
what they're relying on that is the reputation system. And you know, if you constantly quit out of matches, your reputation is going to go down, not only your rank.
So that's automatic. That doesn't, I don't have, because personally, I'll leave feedback if you really tick me off on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
But if, somebody that quits, I rarely will ever leave them feedback.
Yeah, the way they described it for MCC, and I would imagine they would follow the same protocols for Halo 5, is that they're monitoring how many games you quit, how many games you're standing there idle, and if it becomes excessive, it goes against your reputation, not just people reporting you.
So even with that, I think there's, because originally it was something that Join in Progress was looked upon as not something for Halo, but given the recent experience with Halo 4 and the Master Chief Collection, it's almost like that needs to be in there for at least non-ranked games.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they can also put options in there for people to select whether they want to do Join in Progress or they don't. And I believe I mentioned this on the podcast earlier, but I think there should be the option where if you happen to get disconnected from a game for any reason, that maybe it was a connection blip, or in Bio's case, the hamster stopped spinning, it's something that you can just jump back into the game within like a minute time window and rejoin your friends.
Yeah.
Even if it's a ranked game. So have that little ability. It's like, okay, you got temporarily disconnected. We're going to give you this time window for you to reconnect back. And if you can, you're back in the game.
Yeah, and that's fair. And to the other point, you know, to be able to go into settings and say that you don't want to join in progress, you want to start a new game, is another good option. Because not everybody wants to jump into the middle of a game. Me, I don't mind if it's early enough in the game and you still have a reasonable opportunity to turn it around. You know, I don't want to drop in the last 3 minutes of the game.
Right. There should be thresholds to where you should not join the game in progress.
But just if finding that balance is what, if they're going to use it, is what they really need to work hard on. In Halo 4, it was I actually liked the join in progress when it worked correctly. It didn't, you know, shove me into a match that had 30 seconds left, or you know, capture the flag map. A match when it's 4-0. If they could get it working to where the person joining has the opportunity to at least make a productive contribution and have a chance of winning the match,
when it's 4-0, I don't see a problem with
them. No, I'm just using that as a bad example of
having right.
Join in progress, and which has happened to me in Halo 4. You know, I've joined capture the flag matches where it's 4-0 and there's, you know, minute and a half left on the clock.
I think there's ways they can do it that makes it work well.
Yeah. They just got to get the join in progress policy set correctly to account for, you know, if you're more than halfway through the game, it's probably time to turn off join in progress. Yeah. It's just finding where that threshold is.
Right. And even if it comes to it, just give people the option to not use join in progress. They don't want to, because if some people don't want it, then fine, give them the option not to do it. But I think that's something that should be there, because it gives people that end up in the situation where it's 1-on-4 or something like that, and the game hasn't gone on for that long, for them to either get their friends in there or for people to join back in and help fill a game and have a good experience overall. Most of the time it's not a fun experience, but if you can get people back in there to where it is fun, then there's a lot more longevity to that, and I think everyone will be a little more happy about actually playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, end rant on that.
But the new game mode, that I've been racking my brain ever since they mentioned that. I've been like, okay, what could they do that's new?
There's endless possibilities, to be honest.
Well, I mean, that would still fit in the Halo universe, or fit with a, you know, a first-person shooter type stuff. They haven't said anywhere that it's multiplayer, well, not multiplayer, but like, you know, you versus another team, right? Like matchmaking?
I don't know.
They've just said multiplayer, right?
Yeah.
So it may not even be a game type. It could be just a whole other mode like Spartan Ops.
I would think a mass, I don't know, like there's a couple things I can honestly think of that I would like to see.
Like, don't just leave us hanging.
Me and my friend were talking about this a while back, and it was more or less have multiple teams on a giant arena. Like, say, for instance, a condemned city that was, like, glassed or something like that, and have multiple teams of four, like, kind of more like multi-team, but have an objective to see which team can get there first while killing each other. So, like, say, for instance, it's like a giant capture the flag type deal. Then you have your team of four. The first team that gets that flag, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a flag, it's just the objective. Get the objective done first with that team. Maybe have like seven or eight teams of four on a giant city map type deal.
Yeah, but that I don't think that would qualify as never seen before.
We've never seen anything like that. Like when I'm talking like
grand- Yeah, we have. Well, not on that scale, but we've seen that. In multi-team.
Right, but I mean,
you know, I understand what you're saying. Yes, it would be new, but they're saying something that has never been seen in Halo before.
Well, right. I mean,
tells me that it is not related to anything that is in Halo currently.
I don't think that's the case. Like,
spending a lot of time with Max Hoberman recently. And yep. What was his vision for Halo 2?
Big multiplayer.
True, but
I don't think what they're saying that we have, I think them saying something we haven't seen before is relevant to them saying that it hasn't been in Halo yet. Like, granted, it's going to have the same mechanics that we've seen in other game types, like maybe something like big team battle or something of that sort, but just maybe in a different way, maybe a bigger scale, maybe. And I don't know, like a new game type that kind of enhances different things you're going to be able to do in multiplayer.
I've been hearing some ideas kind of toss around. One of them was like, what if each team had like their forge god, basically, and they could drop supplies onto the map for their team? Like they were the supply droppers, or they were like ship commanders, and they could send in ordnance or airstrikes, things like that.
That'd be unique. I mean, that's more or less
there's a lot of games like that. Like, look at the new Fable. They're doing something like that. Not to that extent, but I don't know. It'd be an interesting dynamic. I'm not saying I want to see it, but
I want to see something. I'm a huge 4v4 guy. I mean, big team battle. I'm constantly saying BTB. Big team battle is something that I enjoy a lot too. I haven't exactly cared for it because I'm at the Master Chief Collection because everybody just quits. But if they could nail something that is huge in scale, just, I don't know, like I have a feeling that we could see something completely different than we haven't seen. But I also feel that it's going to have the same resemblance to something that we've played before. Like, I don't think it's going to be completely new. I think they're going to have a new look on it, but it's going to be interesting to see. Like, we've never seen them put out something like that, just saying, oh, well, this is going to be completely new, nothing we ever see. Like, we haven't seen that. Like,
the part nothing. That gets me is that they say it's a completely new mode.
Yeah, but them going and saying it's a new mode could be something like a Spartan Ops.
Like I said, a lot of people think it's related to multiplayer, which, well, it related.
It is. It's a new multiplayer mode.
I should say the match made multiplayer, you know, like Team SWAT, stuff like that. But what if it's not even related to that? Maybe it is something like not the same as Spartan Ops, but something, you know, just totally separate from the campaign, the regular campaign, and then your online multiplayer. And then you have this other place to go. You know, like you had campaign. In Reach, you had your multiplayer, then you had your firefight.
I get what you're saying, but in most cases, whenever people are talking about multiplayer, they mean the competitive multiplayer side of things. Because you look at Spartan Ops, that wasn't really considered like, you say you're going to play multiplayer, and it's not really Spartan Ops isn't really regarded as multiplayer, it's regarded as co-op. Very likely this is talking about some kind of competitive multiplayer similar to that of Slayer, Capture the Flag, Oddball, that kind of stuff. Not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying 9 times out of 10, that multiplayer is talking about competitive PvP multiplayer.
It's still, it's like, what haven't they done that would fit into the Halo sandbox?
I don't know. I thought of that ring the bell thing for Arena. That's something that they haven't quite done yet. That would fit well for the Arena thing. But other than that,
that'd be good for Breakout or whatever it is. But
that's Arena. Yeah.
Well, I guess when I think Arena, I just think midship and all that. But all good.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out at E3. That's going to be the things that they're going to talk about and show off. I don't know if this is going to be during the press briefing or if this is going to be something afterwards that they'll show on the show floor or whatnot. But I'm hoping that it may be something that Bio and I can get some hands-on time with. That would be really cool. One of the other things to note about the campaign, and we're going to be jumping around here quite a bit, so sorry for the random jumps to places, but we're going to have a revive system instead of a respawn system in campaign. Pulling the old Battlefield copy right there. What do you guys think of that? What do you think of having the revive instead of the respawn? Guys, can anyone in the stream still hear me? Because apparently Skype has just died. I don't know what is going on. This is getting awkward. All right, so you guys can hear me. Looks like we're having a few technical difficulties with Skype. I'm going to try ending the call and calling them back. See if we can get them back. I see some interesting stuff in the chat, which I'll address here in a second. Hang on. I'm getting my bearings straight here. But yeah, revive is going to be one of those things. I kind of like the idea. I think it's a really interesting idea that I think will play well to the fire team thing. Because traditionally for multiplayer, it's been one of those things that you're playing as a duplicate of whatever character you're going in as. But for this, I think the revive is actually pretty cool. I like the idea of going and picking up your player right where they are, and you don't have to worry about waiting. And this is one of the things that they mentioned in the article too, was you don't have to wait for enemies to get cleared out before you respawn back into the action. And the other thing, too, is that you're there, so you pop up right where you are. You're just kind of like you were just not in the battle for a little bit, and you come right back in. So I actually like the idea of respawn for campaign, personally.
I really like the fact that the AI can revive you for a couple of reasons. One, you don't have you don't have to wait for a safe respawn. And you don't have to revert to previous checkpoint unless your whole team dies, I'm sure.
Come on, Lazo, run.
Halo 5, Lazo.
We're going to have to crunch that out for the Master Chief collection on when we're at RTX, right?
Sure, like we won't have anything else to do while we're there.
We've got the Thursday. We can stream all day.
I'm still trying to decide what time I'm going to leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm trying to determine if I want to leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, or if I want to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday.
That would be a very important decision to make.
Do I want to sleep before I start to drive, or do I want to sleep in the middle of the drive? But I think it's going to be a really cool mechanic to have that in the campaign. You know, there's been so many times, you know, you're just about to finish that level and the random grunt throws a sticky on your face.
The random suicide grunt.
Yeah, the random suicide grunt or the blue, you know, you get the blue spider. And you're like feet from the checkpoint, your next checkpoint. So it's kind of cool that they have put in there the ability for the other Spartans to revive you. And that you can revive them as well.
Right.
I think it's going to add a lot more fun to the game, especially when you're playing it on the harder difficulties. It won't seem so much like a grind.
I hope so. And I think that's actually going to, I agree with you there, where it should feel a lot better to have a revive system instead of a respawn system.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do have to still play. You know, when you're playing on the higher difficulties, you still have to pay attention. Because I'm sure if your whole team dies, then you revert to last checkpoint. Or you restart level. I hope they don't have the restart level part.
Well, that would be Iron Skull. Well, no. That would be for only single player. Oh, I don't know. They would definitely have a checkpoint type thing.
But I really like the idea of the revive, personally. It kind of keeps you, especially on a team on a higher difficulty, kind of keeps you guys needing to keep communication up through campaign while also being mindful of where each other are so you can be in a position to help a teammate that gets downed or anything like that. So you can't, well, I'm just going to keep running and I'll pull you guys through. Good luck. Oh, I got killed and here I am just waiting for 3 to 5 minutes to too many enemies nearby.
Mm-hmm.
That's so frustrating to see, too. It's like, I don't see any enemies near you.
Yep.
Oh, and Halo CE was the worst about it. If you were standing too close to a wall that an elite was on the other side of, too many enemies nearby. It's like, can you even see me? You know, I've was in playing co-op in Halo CE. I've backtracked, you know, a good third of the level sometimes to get someone to respawn. Or, you know, like backtracked a room and a half, like on Assault on Control Room, backtracked a room and a half to get somebody to respawn because it said too many enemies nearby. But it sounds like it's going to be a really good system.
Yeah, I
think so.
Very hopeful for it.
Let's see. The next thing on the little list that I wrote down is, and we kind of touched on this earlier, is that you can actually give orders to AI. So you can tell them to go to a certain place or attack a certain enemy or other stuff. So that's one thing. Another thing is there's going to be multiple pathways to get to certain objectives and do certain things. So because you have a fire team, you can actually flank certain positions from multiple angles and surprise enemies or get to objectives a certain way. I wonder if that's going to also play into maybe a multi-phase objective type thing. So you have to send out part of your fire team to go do this while you go do this thing. That would be kind of interesting.
It could. And I like how they differentiated between the two teams. And I don't know if this is on your list or not, but where when you're playing with Chief's team, to find these other pathways, you got to do a little exploring.
I did write this down, actually. But go ahead.
And then when you're on Locke's team, you have the advanced software and visor that will show you this.
The Artemis tracking system.
Yeah, the Artemis tracking system, ATS, that shows you all this stuff so you can activate it and see, okay, well, I can go through this vent over here, or I can, you know, that door over there is unlocked. I can go that way and flank around. That I really like how, and I like the fact that you have two different ways to play with the two different fire teams. Now, the one thing that leads to is, are we going to spend the whole game replaying the same levels?
This seems so big of a story that I don't think we will that much. We might do a couple of the same environments repeat, but I would only see that as maybe one or two levels.
Yeah, I don't mind the repeat the level thing, especially with the storyline that they're putting through. I just hope it's not like half the game.
I don't think it would, though. Not at least not with the way this has been hyped.
Of course, it could have a 30-hour campaign and we don't know it. But
that would be, honestly, I would love to see a campaign last longer than 8 hours. I really would. Especially on
Lasso, it lasts longer than 8 hours.
I'm talking about the canonical difficulty of Heroic with no skulls on.
I understand. I know. I'm just giving you an option.
Fair point. Halo 2, if you play through it without trying to do a bunch of shortcuts and whatnot, that's the longest campaign that we've had out of any Halo game. I still don't know how I'm supposed to get it under 3 hours while playing.
Well, it's also the hardest campaign as well.
That is true.
At least the first level.
That's a scar on everybody's Halo career, I'm sure. One of the things with the Halo 2 campaign, though, was you got to see so much of an evolving story there. And it seems like with Halo 5, they're kind of doing something similar where, and this is something that they also say in the Game Informer issue, you start off with Chief's team before they were listed as AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to Locke's team as they hunt. So I don't think it's going to be directly back and forth between Chief and Arbiter, because after you got to Delta Halo, it was one level of Chief, one level of Arbiter, one level of Chief, one level of Arbiter, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, but the thing I liked about that was the fact that they weren't, it wasn't one chasing the other.
In a sense, it kind of was, but I get what you mean.
It, not in the sense that we're talking about in Halo 5. They were both going after the same objective. You know, they were both trying to get the key, you know, like on the whatever they called the library mission.
The index.
Yeah, the index.
They're trying to go for the index.
Yeah. Whenever they were, you know, they were both headed to, they were basically drag racing to see who got there first. So I wouldn't really call that a follow the leader type mission. They just happened to both be going to the same place. And it wasn't Chief going for it. It was Miranda Keys that he was racing to the index.
But still, you had the human side and you had the Covenant side. And while it's not as directly back and forth, I think that's similar thing that we're getting here with Halo 5 is that duality of the story, which I think will make it really interesting. And I do hope it's a long campaign.
I am super pumped for the campaign. And I do hope it is a longer campaign. I don't know that I really want a 30-hour one, but a good 10-hour one, 12-hour one, I wouldn't have any problem with.
I wouldn't mind having to put a full day into a campaign. Like, I wouldn't play it in a full day, unless I did a live stream intentionally for that. But having a story that I can get heavily involved with and have that much of an experience to dwell upon and to experience, I think would be fantastic. That's just so much story, and it's more like, okay, I want to absorb this more and more and more kind of thing.
So you would like to have a good solid 24-hour campaign?
I would love it. Granted, I don't think they're going to quite do that.
I think what we've learned about the Halo games, if you really wanted to take your time through each mission and really consume all the story that really is in all these missions, not just the narrative that they're giving you, but the story that they plant throughout each mission, you could probably extend this easily, any Halo campaign, in the 20 to 24 hour window.
Well, I mean, usually my first playthrough on a campaign is on normal because I want to look around. I want to listen to the dialogue. I don't want to be, you know, so focused on enemies that I miss everything else. And that's why I play on normal. And after I get through it on normal, then I'll go back and I'll play it for achievements, you know, on legendary, stuff like that. But I'll play it on normal so I can really enjoy the story. It's like Halo 4, I think the first time I played it through, it took me 14 hours of total play time just because I was exploring the levels.
See, for me, it's different because I'm going through Heroic. I want to play with some difficulty in it, and I want to play as like I'm running through the story. And honestly, as the Chief or Spartan Locke in this case, you're really not there to look at the scenery. Granted, it's nice to see, but you're going and you're on your mission type of thing. So I want that experience as the story evolves. And that's in my...
Well, I'm looking for things like the little terminals in Halo 4, the base that have... You know, they have stuff that is part of the story. I mean, granted, yes, you can get through the campaign without it, but it adds a little bit more detail to it.
Right. It's the meta story. And for me, I'm going through the story as it should naturally unfold in the game. And then I can go back and I can appreciate the surroundings and appreciate the terminals and whatnot. But when I'm going through it, it's like, okay, I'm playing through canonically how I would experience it, and I'm going to experience it in the way that it should naturally unfold for someone in this position with the mindset of I'm going to do my objective.
Well, see, the way that they're billing this is, yeah, that's not so much how it's going to go. Because you have choices to make along the way as to which path you take.
Right.
I mean, yes, you have an objective to complete, but the path getting there is not as straightforward and linear as it used to be.
Right, which I also appreciate, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me as well. Because the way they describe it, yeah, they give you the freedom to move about the space, and they gently nudge you in the correct direction without having to have a world map in front of you to figure out where you are.
Right.
And I did enjoy that in ODST where, you know, you had the map function. You say, okay, I'm here and I need to be here. And, you know, you could work out how you wanted to get there. You know, there were several paths to get there. I like that. And that's kind of how I see their campaign being is, okay, yeah, I can bypass this group of grunts if we, you know, if we go down this air vent. And then I don't have to fight them and I don't alert the next room. And I can get the jump on them.
Right.
Yeah, I'm... You know, for me, I want to, my first playthrough, I don't want it to be so much about the combat. I want it to really be about the story. And I mean all of the story.
The story to me is what you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is, you're in there, you're doing your objective, you're finding the stuff that you need to complete your objective, not being sidetracked. Because being sidetracked is a waste of time and it's a risk. And just thinking in military terms, I'm not saying like from that perspective of like, yeah, they make Halo really pretty and there's these other things in a video game. That's the video game that you'd go discover. But to me, it's just different.
You know, the thing is I still see it as a video game.
But I want that immersion of like, I am the one that is playing this story. I am telling the story.
Then you need to just go out and pick you up an Oculus Rift.
They don't have Halo on the Oculus yet.
Well, guess what? It now is going to ship with an Xbox One controller, with a dongle for your PC, and with Windows 10, you can stream Halo 5 from your Xbox to your PC.
With a game that doesn't support 3D.
Well, it's not 3D.
You have to have a 3D element in there in order to portray the two different eyesights.
They all Xbox One games can be streamed to it. They announced that today.
Yeah. That's all handled by the graphics card in your computer, is dividing the picture up to where you see it like an IMAX screen.
So it's just a higher resolution.
Well, no, it's more immersive because instead of you having a flat picture in front of you, it literally surrounds your head. So it's like you're in the helmet. You want to talk about immersion.
Honestly, for me, that would get old really quick. I could see me getting really tired that quickly, and I don't see the practical application. Unless you can actually get a sense of 3D, like you're actually in there, I don't think it would last long as that kind of functionality. I mean, it's a great idea. I just don't think it would last.
Who knows? Halo 5 might support 3D.
It could.
I mean, with the number of 3D televisions that are out there now, surprise me if it has some 3D support.
I'm not going to be streaming my Xbox to my PC.
I'm just giving you an option, Dust.
There's no reason for me to.
Me either, but...
I think there's an appeal out there for people, but it's not. It's not for people like us who are more... We take our gaming a little bit more seriously.
Twitch reaction with delays over processing a video signal down to a LAN signal, then getting reprocessed on your computer, being output to your graphics card, that I can't imagine that lag is short enough to actually be suitable for a first-person shooter. For an adventure game, maybe. First-person shooter, no.
Yeah, only type of games I would consider playing that are turn-based games, like Uno or...
I think it would be appropriate for something like Yes, well, maybe not ESO, but Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Peggle, stuff like that.
Halo Wars would work well on it because, you basically just command your troops and they do all the moving. There's no real Twitch response there. Is it something I'm probably going to use? No. Is it something I like to play with? Yes. Just to see what it's like and to see how well they can compress or get the information off the Xbox to your computer and on your monitor and see what the lag is like.
How sad is it that their HDMI input. So if you plug a console or something into the HDMI input on the console, the delay is supposed to be. Now, what I keep hearing is there's supposed to be little to no delay on the streaming. What if the streaming is more effective than the HDMI input on the console?
Well, the HDMI input on the console wasn't intended to handle a gaming rig. It was designed to handle a set-top box or a DVD player. You know, it wasn't it wasn't designed to hook your PS3 or your Xbox 360 or your PS4 on and game. Like I said, that's why I really want to play with it, because I want to see what the Xbox actually does.
Well, they had it in the preview, so did you try it yet?
No, it hasn't. My preview crashed, and I haven't been able to get it put back up yet.
Ouch. And
I hadn't been able to get it to work yet.
Gotcha.
I think I, while I was out of town, I had a missed update or something. But anyway, or something weird happened.
Gotcha. Well, going back to the original question I put in the chat, how long people would like to play the campaign for. And Happy Zoo said 30 hours. Pinzhalo said 24 would be a good length. And then Lone Warfare Dude, he said, until I beat the game.
That's how long I'll play it.
Heck, that would be how long I would play it, too. It took me, I want to say a week to beat Mass Effect, playing 4 hours a day or so. That would be pretty cool. Next thing on the list that I have written down is Spartan Banter now replaces the normal interactions that you would have with Cortana. So you have all your AIs actually talking back to you and filling the void with like pointing stuff out for objectives or responding to you whenever you issue commands and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of filling the void that Cortana left.
I think that banter will be really fun with Osiris. Blue team being Spartan 2s and being that they are more disciplined, I think that might be a little more difficult. But when you have personality, especially like Buck, one that we've come to know through New Blood and ODST, I think the banter on Osiris will be a lot more of a lighter, or there will be that comedic relief, where on blue team it'll be more straight to the point. It'll still be enjoyable to listen to, but you won't have that, like, ha-ha-ha punchline here and there.
I don't know. Chief has some pretty witty one-liners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, Haas. As far as the fun time, it's definitely going to be more Team Osiris, especially with Buck there. That man can't say a single sentence without having some smart-ass remark in there. But, if blue team is just all business all the time, I'll be kind of a little disappointed, because, in the books and stuff, they've got a smart aleck side. It's very small, but it's there. And it's whenever it comes out, it just kind of smacks you in the face and says, wake up. And it's refreshing. And I hope that they include at least some of that in there. Because that's always one of the fun things about Halo is hearing what the characters say, especially when you put the inbred skull on and you get the less common dialect.
Dialogue?
Yeah, dialogue.
Dialect. I'm going to be speaking in Russian.
Well, at the time I was thinking about how, all the grunts and stuff, they had been speaking their languages for the past couple of games and not English.
Right.
That's another thing I'm looking forward to, is hearing the grunts talk again.
Right, and it's not just the grunts anymore. It's going to be grunts, elites, jackals, everything is going to be speaking English.
I don't think the hunters will be, because they've never spoke English. They've never spoke.
Everything that you would expect to speak English.
Yeah.
Would speak English.
I can't wait to find out to hear who they got to do the grunt voices, because what's his name?
Well, Joe Staten works at Microsoft again.
Did he do the voices for the grunts?
Yes.
He
did some of the voices.
I thought it was somebody else.
No, it was him. Bio would be all over that if he didn't crash out.
But I hope they get somebody. If they don't get him to do it, I hope they get somebody that has as much fun with it as he did.
I could see him doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That was kind of the big things I had written down, the big overview things. And we are kind of running a little long, but I did want to talk about the character profiles that Game Informer put up earlier today. So I'm going to go ahead and read through those real quick. First one I'm going to go through is do a character. They have little character blurbs for every single person. So starting off with Fire Team Osiris, Spartan Locke. Locke is an ex-agent of the Office of Naval Intelligence, but he has recently started working for the UNSC as one of their newly minted Spartans. In spite of what fans might think, based on recent trailers, 343 Industries says that Locke doesn't hold any animosity towards the Chief, but he is given a mission to bring him home, and Locke is the kind of guy who always comes through on a mission. Locke is a world-class manhunter. If you need someone tracked down, Locke is the guy you want to call. So that's good to know that Locke doesn't have like a vendetta out for Chief or that he has some kind of reason to bring him down. He's just doing his job.
Kind of fits my prediction 1 or 2 weeks ago where I kind of just haven't felt that Locke was there to kill Chief. That just, yeah, they're trying to make Chief a villain in Hunt the Truth, but I don't think it was like, let's make this guy a villain so we can kill him. I think they just kind of wanted to not have him be relevant anymore in the military so they can see the Spartan Fours as this, you know, more humane, more mindful Spartan military program.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it, to help to glorify the Halo or the Spartan Fours.
That's something that Game Informer kind of brought up too, was that the background of the Spartan Fours is that they have a record of military service and there's actual human components to them that you wouldn't get out of the Spartan 2s because they're basically trained to be ironclad soldiers, not like robotic or manufactured minds, or as Game Informer puts it, not robotic single-minded monsters. And that's one of the things that you go back to Hunt the Truth 2 weeks ago with Del Rio talking about. I know these Spartan 4s, they're actual human beings, whereas the Spartan 2s are basically manufactured hunting machines. So you go with the human element, and then you just go with the element that just is a powerhouse. Another thing that Game Informer mentions is while the Spartan 2s could easily take on Spartan 4s in their unarmored state, with the upgrades and how the armor is today for the Spartan 4s, they could take on Spartan 2s in pretty much an even combat.
I don't think they could take Spartan 2s. I just think they're training from such a young age.
I think that's what part of that is they're not. If you basically compare spec to spec, they're pretty equal. Not accounting for experience. Which, you know, all the people on Team Osiris are experienced soldiers. Granted, they're not as experienced as Blue Team, and they haven't been as specifically trained as Blue Team for the same length of time. But, you know, like if you just take and compare the specifications, the Spartan 4, Spartan 2, side by side, they're an even match. The thing that makes it uneven is the additional experience the Spartan 2s have.
Right. Exactly.
You know, where they can function, they function very well as a team, but they're also exceptional individuals. Where Team Osiris, they've always been part of that team element.
Well, Tanaka really hasn't been. I mean, she was a minor. Okay.
But she was trained when she was doing her military training, she was trained in this team environment where you've got, you know, like Master Chief and Linda. Linda pretty much most of the time solos it. She's one of the only snipers in the UNSC that they let do that. And we know what Master Chief's been doing for, the, you know, the last 10 years in our time. Fred, and this is one thing that bugs me, especially on his profile and the way they got his loadout set. Fred, for one, he's in the canon. They state that he is their second best or their best spotter, their second best sniper. And he is absolutely a tank when it comes to CQC combat. So, you know, the experience level is the determining factor here. You know, all the Spartan 2s, they were trained to work as teams, but they're also very exceptional at soloing it. Where the Team Osiris, you've never really seen that. Where you know, they do well just on their own because they've always had this team element around them. Now, granted, Tanaka and, what's the new girl, lady's name? Val.
Olympia Vale.
We don't know anything about her yet. So, you know, I can't really speak to her. Tanaka, you know, she was trained in a classic military role and then she became a Spartan IV, which, you know, they very heavily train team based tactics. So, you know, like on a technical standpoint, yeah, they're even, but the experience and training, it makes a totally different show. And I go Spartan IIs. I'm sorry.
Oh, hands down, Spartan IIs. Going back to the character profiles, the next one that we have up for Fireteam Osiris is Holly Tanaka. Halo fans were introduced to Tanaka in Dark Horse's ongoing comic series, Halo Escalation. One of only 10 survivors after her homeworld of Minab was glassed during the Covenant War, Tanaka endured a 3-year nuclear winter on Minab's barren surface before being rescued and joining the UNSC Army. Later, she volunteered for augmentation and training as a Spartan IV soldier. Tanaka comes from African and East Asian descent, and her time surviving on Minab has given her a will to fight and survive no matter what the cost. Godzilla, for you, I guess you're the closest one that would be having caught up on the comics. Can you expand on that a little bit, or?
I haven't read the latest issue yet.
This was pretty early on, I think.
Yeah, I haven't read the latest issue. I've watched Halo Canon's little coverage on it, and I mean, it's pretty. You know, the description pretty much describes what happens in the comics. In the two issues that she's in there, the first issue is you see her on a UNSC ship. They're over a glassed planet where they've received a distress beacon, and two of the soldiers on the ship are, you know, basically it's been 3 years. There's no way anybody's down there is alive, or it's been 5 years or whatever the time frame is. And Tanaka happens to be on the bridge and says, yes, they can be alive. And then they start to go into her story. You know, I was stranded on my home planet for 3 years and it was glassed. There are survivors down there, and she's very adamant into that. And, you know, that's part of her drive. You know, she survived this, you know, Holocaust on her own world, and it's, you know, given her the drive to survive, like they say in the description. She's also part of the reason she survived is she hooked up with a couple of what you find out later insurrectionists that teach her, you know, how to survive in that type of situation, you know, how to, you know, protect yourself, how to deal with the conditions and things like that. And then in the second issue, she actually lands with the Marines to go find these people. And of course they do. And, you know, she basically proves that, you know, she was right. They were wrong. And in the performance of that duty, her CO on the ship recommends her for Spartan duty. And believe me, this is a very abbreviated version. If you have not read them, I do highly recommend you read them just to get to know the details of Tanaka's story, because it would take me an hour to go through all of them.
Gotcha.
But it's a really good story, and I do highly recommend, if you haven't read them, to go pick them up and read them just to get Tanaka's background, and it will immensely help you in getting to know more about her in Halo 5 and with the upcoming information that is just bound to drop.
So I have volume 1 and volume 2 of the comics for me to take on my flight out to LA. So I will be catching up on those this weekend.
You might as well just order the rest of them too, because there's so much goodness in those.
Yes, there is a lot of good story in the Escalation comic.
So I'm thinking about going and getting all the digital copies, but it's nice to have the physical copy for me.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm a physical nerd too, but the digital kind of is space convenient, especially for travel.
Yeah, it's a lot more portable.
Right. No, I plan on getting it. I just don't have a device I can really Yeah, I know, but it's Halo. I don't mind.
The nice thing is there's the issues are small enough that, I mean, it's, I don't know, 5 minutes an issue tops. I mean, you could, I think I blew through, cause I had to wait before I started actually reading the comments because I had some financial bills I'd take care of before I could spend it on fun stuff. So I had to catch up on the first like 9 issues of Escalation, and me being not the fastest reader in the world, it took me 25 minutes to get through those first 9 issues. And
not bad.
That's
pretty good
for me.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So,
well, it's text bubbles and pretty pictures.
Yeah. But, you know, I read through them and, you know, and that was taking time to, you know, look at the artwork to see what the artist was trying to tell you as well. You know, not just reading the bubbles and just going through the pages.
Right.
There are some issues that kind of made you go, you know, as far as what I would call required reading for Halo 5, definitely the current issue and the previous issue. And it probably wouldn't hurt to read the issues that cover the 72 hours after Halo 4. And that's when John hooks back up with Blue Team and they go after the Didact.
Okay. I do remember reading that part. I've only read them once, though, so it hasn't really stuck in.
Yeah, I won't tell you how many times I've read it. I'm going to have to get new copies. Those are the issues I would recommend that probably most directly tie into Halo 5. The other ones, there's bits and pieces, but nothing that's like story critical. But if you want, they're a good read.
Gotcha. So the next character profile that Game Informer goes over is the newly revealed Red Spartan, Olympia Vale. At the end of the war with the Covenant, the Navy needs specialists to help bridge the gap between humanity and the Covenant. One of the most important players in this political game was Olympia Vale. A post-war political liaison with the Sangheili, Vale was a child prodigy who is very skilled in language and has learned to speak many of the Covenant's dialects. Vale is a fairly new character for the Halo universe, so little is known about her currently. She will be a key player in the upcoming Halo Hunters in the Dark novel, so fans will learn a lot more about her when the book releases on June 16th. So literally Tuesday. It's like, I'm not going to have time to read that until a week later. I'll go ahead and get it on Kindle, but I might have time to read it on the way back.
You'll still be too busy poring over all the E3 stuff.
I want to go to sleep after all that.
He's not going to want to be reading on the plane. He'd be sitting there going, he'd be doing his impression of Homer.
So
he'd be doing his impression of Homer Simpson.
Okay. Next one is obviously everyone's favorite new Spartan that everyone wants to talk about. Edward Buck. Good old Buck. Likely Fireteam Osiris's most recognizable face, Buck is played by popular actor Nathan Fillion from Firefly and Castle, and was first introduced to fans in Halo 3 ODST, where he helped lead a team of ODSTs on a covert mission during the Covenant invasion of Earth. Buck has trained in the manner of armed and unarmed combat and served on the front lines for 2 decades, participating in several Black Ops and Wetwork missions. It is once said that if Buck were any better, he'd be a Spartan. Halo 5 proves that he must have gotten better because Buck has now graduated the Spartan 4 program. However, Buck still wears his old ODST helmet that he's comfortable with. And to add to that, he has a little scratched in mark on his armor with a little heart with an arrow through it and a V on it for Veronica Dare, his little sweetheart. So if you haven't read New Blood yet, we just spoiled the whole thing for you.
Well, I mean, even from ODST, you could tell that he was still sweet on her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but New Blood
goes into some... They weren't exactly dating at the time, but, you know...
Ex-scorned lovers, just ready to bicker, but deep down, they want each other.
I still love that line. They say when they put the engineer in the elephant, when he's talking to the rookie, make sure she's got balls.
Yep. Ever marry a woman? Make sure she has balls. So that is Fireteam Osiris, Spartan Locke's team. On the other side, we have the Master Chief team, original blue team. Part of the Spartan 2 program, they were taken at the age of 6, genetically augmented, and are probably the most badass motherfuckers you ever see on the other colonies. And yes, I think badass motherfuckers is appropriate in this case.
Bamps.
Not arguing.
I'll say it on stream, but I'll just bleep it in post. So, the most badass Spartans you'll ever see. There's a little clip for me to replace it. Diving into the character profiles for these Spartans, I think we know a lot about John already. I don't think that requires any explanation, but just in case, they did a little write-up for him. Not much needs to be said about the Master Chief, as Halo fans are already familiar with the series' iconic hero. Master Chief is considered to be the hero of humanity, as he was a key player in helping humanity win the Covenant War. 8 months after Cortana's destruction in Halo 4, Chief is reunited with Blue Team, his oldest friends. The members of Blue Team are the last officially active Spartan 2s in the UNSC service. However, near the beginning of the game, something happens to the Chief, and the entirety of Blue Team decides to go AWOL. 343 won't reveal any details about this event, but it's significant enough that the UNSC forms a second team of Spartans led by Jameson Locke to hunt down Blue Team.
So pretty much everybody, what we all thought.
Pretty much.
Thought and knew.
And Pins points out that the original team was John, Kelly, and Samuel. And I think this was before the whole Spartan, they got into the armor.
Well, no, actually, they received their armor. Was the mission? It was the mission that they received their armor where Samuel died.
Gotcha. But that wasn't Blue Team, right?
No, that was Blue Team.
Okay, I thought Blue Team formed. I thought that. Okay.
Well, no, the teams had already formed before they had armor. They already had their little groups of four. Now, gotcha. John was basically the head of all the Spartans, but he had his own little group of four that he always did missions with. You know, they had, you know, Blue Team, Green Team, Black Team, Red Team. You know, they were all different, you know, groups within the overall Spartan group. Matter of fact, Fred, if I remember correctly, was usually the leader of Red Team.
Okay.
When it comes to the canon. So Fred is probably, you know, Fred is a newer addition to Blue Team, to Chief's team, but he's not. He's kind of always been there. And John has always, you know, respected Fred. You know, they've even gone so far as to say he could be Chief. He just doesn't want it.
Gotcha. And Pins is in here in the chat also kind of clarifying some of this stuff as well, where he was putting out the original team was John, Kelly, and Samuel, which is only three people. And this was from the first day of training with the Ring the Bell training. So I remember that. I thought for some reason Blue Team was formed a little bit after that, but I guess I'm wrong and I need to read up on Fall of Reach still.
But yeah, it was. You know, they were teamed up one day and then the next day is when they actually would probably, you would technically say the team had actually formed, when they actually acknowledged each other as a team. You know, the first day they were all paired up together, it was more like, you know, John was out for himself and Mendez taught him a lesson about teamwork. And then the next day, that's when Blue Team really formed and they basically kind of made, you know, the friendship pact, to where, you know, they would cover each other's back.
Okay, gotcha. Talking about Fred, he's the next one on the list that they have on the GI coverage. Lieutenant Junior Grade Frederick 104, an expert in strategy and battlefield combat. Fred is actually the highest ranking member of Blue Team and technically the leader. However, Fred often defers command to the Chief. 343 Industries thinks of Fred as a kind of producer for Blue Team. He's the guy who organizes the team and helps them focus on their strengths. He cares a great deal for each member of his crew and is emotionally impacted when anyone under his command gets hurt. Good old Fred. Next one.
I like how they put that in there. He defers to Chief, even though he has the higher rank. I think that's just it speaks a lot to the team.
They trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Petty Officer Linda 058. A highly skilled marksman, Linda is the quietest member of Blue Team and likely the most observant. In the Halo lore, Linda is known to take out multiple targets so quickly that observers don't know who she targeted first. A bit of lone wolf, Linda is good with a sniper that she doesn't even use a spotter to help her find targets. Most impressively, she's taken down Banshees by sniping the pilot through the tiny slit below the vehicle's canopy. While players who assume the role of Linda will start with a sniper rifle, it's worth noting that players will never be locked into any one of the starting weapons. Each member of the team is functionally the same, and most of the differences between the team are cosmetic or story-related. So this is another thing to point out that we didn't quite touch on, but everyone, depending on what Spartan you're playing as, will get a certain starting loadout whenever you play in campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go back here for Locke's team, Locke starts with an AR. Tanaka, I think, starts with a DMR. Vale starts out with an SMG. And Buck an AR. Wait, Locke must be a BR then.
Yeah, Locke is a BR. And
Tanaka, DMR, Vale, SMG, plasma rifle, and then Buck with the AR. Then on the Chief side, Chief starts with an AR, Fred with a DMR, Linda with a sniper rifle, and then Kelly with a shotgun.
Yeah, see, I still say they need to switch Kelly's loadout and Fred's loadout.
That makes sense. And didn't Halo Cannon in his little video say something about switching up the weapons?
I'm pretty sure he did say, he said something about it as well.
I think he said the same thing, which he goes in a little more detail behind the canonical stuff that has been released by Game Informer. So if you guys want a little more deeper dive into that, then make sure you go over and check out his latest video, because he actually does a really good job covering all the canonical stuff. The last person, of course, on Blue Team is Petty Officer Kelly 087. Blue Team's key reconnaissance expert, Kelly is quick on her feet and adept at analyzing combat situations. While all the members of Blue Team are close, Kelly might be the one of the Chief's closest friends. In the game, Kelly will be technically as fast as the other members of Blue Team, but in the Halo lore, Kelly has been clocking running as fast as 38 miles per hour. Her speed also extends to her reflexes, which makes her a formidable hand-to-hand combatant. Blue Team has been known to use Kelly as bait, having her lead enemies into traps set up by the rest of the team.
So if you play as her, you get to be bait.
I don't think we're going to see her speed really come into play through the campaign. No.
They just said that.
Oh, well, yeah.
You didn't hear what I just read.
I think it's probably something that they're not going to give a position where her speed would be useful.
Not for the purposes of playing the campaign, no. Canonically, yes, but gameplay-wise, I think 343 is making the smart decision and seeing that it really doesn't play well to the play experience.
Although it probably depressed all the speedrunners.
I didn't even think about that, to be honest.
Well, think about it. If you had Kelly's additional speed to speedrun a level.
But I think to that point, though, if you're speedrunning, you're going to be playing as Chief, right? I mean, that'd be your first go-to Spartan. I think if you were playing solo, you're locked into Chief.
Yeah, I think you probably are locked into Chief, but I mean, you could just get a buddy of yours to, join a buddy's game and then make your run as, as her through the level. And if they had split screen, you could just, fire up an extra controller.
True.
It's just something that popped in my head.
Fair enough. Some multiplayer specific stuff. I think we got through a good chunk of the campaign. There's some mission specific stuff, which we'll try to talk about in another episode, but we're going kind of long here. But there's a couple of other things I wanted to bring up. At launch, we're going to have 20 multiplayer maps. And then by June 2016, we're going to have an additional 15 downloadable maps that will be absolutely free.
So two things. Is Truth and Regret going to be considered one map or two maps?
Probably two maps.
So the remixes are going to count as maps. So it's going to be 10 maps with 10 remixes, quote unquote, maybe. And
if every map has a remix, which
and Forge maps. Are they counting Forge maps?
Probably not. If it's like Reach, then no.
Well, I mean, yeah, why show us the Forge maps if, I don't know. I think the
Forge maps didn't count. I think that was to show off Forge. I don't think that was to show off Forge maps. Now, there may be maps that are considered on-disk maps that they build with Forge.
I mean, if there's like, four maps that are all made in Forge and they count that in the 20.
I don't think they will.
Yeah. At the most, maybe one or two Forge maps, if they have any. They could be all just straight up, you know, standard on-disk maps.
I hope you're right. That's something I would like answered. The doubter in me, I guess. I'm a very optimistic guy, but you just know.
Yeah, even with regret, the two maps played totally different. It was like you were on two separate maps.
Yeah.
Well, to a point. I mean, there were some areas that it kind of all played the same, but you know, even with Empire and what was the other map?
Gosh.
Anyway.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm blanking.
Empire and its remix, you know, the only thing they had in common was they were both at the top of skyscrapers. You know, the layout of the maps there may have been one room that was similar, but you know, if that's what they're doing for remixes, I don't have a problem with it because to me, if those felt like two different maps. And your play style changed on each of the maps. So you even with remixes, I'm cool with it. The part that I really enjoy is the fact that they're going to have this free DLC. Because that's always been one of the big problems with matchmaking is because you get DLC and then you split your player base.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's been more apparent as each Halo game has come out, mm-hmm. as the player base has slowly dwindled.
Right. It's... yeah, and one of the things that they mentioned in the Game Informer article is there's always been this division, like you were saying, Godzilla, as those who have the DLC and those that don't. And by making all the DLC free, you kind of eliminate that separation of the player base.
Yeah, and it also plays into, you know, achievement hunters. Yeah, I've got two achievements that I need to finish and reach, but they're DLC achievements. I never can get the maps I need to complete them.
Right.
Because not everybody has the maps.
There you go.
You know, I'm thankfully that they did this. Now, the flip side to that coin is what are they going to charge us for?
So
probably like armor skins or things like that. Little microtransactions. The little transactions that will add up to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To make your Spartan unique.
They have to do something because, you know, I can't, even though they're, parent is Microsoft, I don't expect them to produce, you know, large amounts of free content and not have some way to pay for it. You know, because DLC, true. That's income for them.
You have to think, though, with the bad reception of Master Chief Collection, they may just be trying to kind of not piss off Halo fans as much as they have in the past.
I do think this is kind of like a we're sorry letter. Mm-hmm. Without saying it's a we're sorry letter.
Well, yeah, I'm. Don't get me wrong. I'm really glad that they do the free DLC thing, and I hope they continue doing it with future games. But it makes me wonder what they're going to do to replace that income.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cosmetic.
If it's cosmetics, that's fine.
They may already have it because, like the article says, Halo 4 was the most purchased game of the Halo franchise.
Mm-hmm. But it was also the reason it sold so well is because of Halos 1, 2, and 3.
Right, right. Take all that extra money that a lot of people say they probably didn't deserve. You've got some left over, probably. I'm just shooting from the hip here, but...
That they probably used up on the Master Chief Collection trying to get it fixed.
Well... That's aside the point. A couple other things that I want to mention before we wrap up, because we are definitely pushing the mark, the 2-hour mark, is We're teased of some big changes happening to Empire, and there's a little bit in the Game Informer article that talks about the changes that were made, especially cutting off certain areas and changing the map flow there. So that's one thing. And another thing, this was actually a tweet that came out after the issue was put out there, but all Halo games are going to have betas from here on out.
Yay!
They said they learned so much from actually having a beta for Halo 5 Guardians that they really see no point not to have a beta and see how valuable user input and user feedback has actually been to the development process for Halo 5.
That's such a good call. It like not even as a like if, as an apology, because I don't think it's an apology. I think it's literally 343 learning as a studio, learning from past mistakes, which we've all, that's what we wanted, is please learn from your mistakes. Don't continue down the path. And hearing that tells me we hear you guys. We want to know what you guys have to say. We're learning a lot from you and from what we're learning just in you playing our game, what we can see, because inside a studio, they're going to fall into habits because they're going to be playing the same people, same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. When you have millions of people playing your product, that's a million different opportunities you have to see something different or game breaking or, you know, whatever, evolving.
True. Very true. That's all the big things I had. Did you guys have anything else that you heard of that you want to bring up before we kind of wrap this up?
Did we cover the Xbox Live's Gold membership?
So, no, but I guess for clarification purposes, everything that you expect for playing online is the same. You have to have gold to do anything online related.
Yeah, they did. You know, they stated in the article that the campaign would be available to silver and gold members as far as multi or co-op campaign. But was it Josh who did the interview?
Yeah, he came and clarified it on Twitter.
Yeah, he clarified it on Twitter that Xbox, a gold live membership is still required to play co-op campaign over live. So
would have been cool, but it, you know, whatever. It's,
you know, honestly, I understand from the business side of it why they would do that. But for campaign, it would be nice if they could have still pulled that off.
They're supporting their online infrastructure, though. Xbox I'm sure that's a fee that game developers have to pay in order for you to use the online service.
Somebody's got to pay for the servers.
Right.
You know, the servers, it's not free to operate these servers.
And if you think about it, we're getting dedicated servers for all these games at no additional charge to Xbox Live service.
Exactly. And actually, here recently, they've been putting the Xbox Live service on sale very regularly.
It doesn't help the fact that it goes down every week.
Well, what, you want your cake and eat it too?
Yes, I do, actually.
Don't we all? It would be nice if it would have been a nice perk to have being a first party game.
Very true. But alas, we were stuck with, and it's the same thing as it was before, so I don't think that's really going to be any big issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ain't been out of shape about it. And people will forget about this come early Monday morning or mid-afternoon Monday, wherever you are.
Depending on where you are, yeah.
Yeah, once E3 happens, trust me, free online co-op with a gold or silver account is not going to be what's on your mind. And I doubt it's going to come back.
Right.
It was, you know, it's one of those deals that it's a blemish and people will move past it, but they really do need to keep an eye on how many of those they let out.
Yep.
So that's going to wrap it up for us. Yep. That will be it for us tonight. We got a little more information that we'll probably cover later on regarding the campaign experiences that they talked about. We mentioned earlier that you actually start out before Blue Team goes AWOL, and there's a little story behind that where GI talks about what they got to experience there. So hopefully we'll catch that in a future episode. But next time you hear us, we will be talking about the last episode of Hunt the Truth. It's going to be big. We're expecting to have Toa Freak back on. No, it's not yet. Not yet. We're expecting to have Toa Freak back on to cover the big finale. So make sure you guys check up on that one. I'm not sure if we're going to be doing it live. We're not even sure when we're going to be doing it. So keep an eye on our Twitter account for all the details on that. We're going to be having our customs night or matchmaking night tomorrow as well. Friday, it's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time is when those normally happen. And as long as Xbox Live is working, Mr. Godzilla T will be there to help lead the way for Master Chief Collection goodness. So make sure you, that's tonight. Wait until tomorrow when everyone logs on. And then that'll be the real test. What was that, Haas?
Hey, the Halo CE was fixed back to a good place. So shot registration.
Thumbs good. Up.
Oh, goody. Yeah.
You can actually shoot them and they die, right?
Yes. So it was a week and a half of damn it, but we're back to you. Hooray. Get those TSK, kid.
Yay. So there's that. There's also our RTX 10-year anniversary reunion party fundraiser that we kicked off earlier this week. If you guys haven't listened to it already, we did an episode a couple episodes ago regarding what we're planning to do at RTX and what our plans for the fundraiser are as far as renting out a restaurant for a party for an evening for us to just get together and have some good times walking down memory lane, getting to talk to other Halo people in the industry and other Halo community fans like ourselves. So I highly recommend you go check that out. If not, please share it with friends and families and other Halo fans. And especially if you're going to RTX, we would love for this to be something that we can get up off the ground. You can go over to podtacular.com/Indiegogo. It's an Indiegogo campaign. And we're asking for $5,000, which I know is kind of a lot, but we've seen some great efforts from the Halo community before on other fundraising efforts. So I have faith that we can get to our $5,000 goal and get that party going. We will all be at RTX, actually. And there'll be some special guests there, too. Bio and I will be at E3 next week covering all of the Halo content. So we're going to be trying to push out as many interviews and podcasts and news articles and heck, maybe even videos as quickly as we can while we're in LA next week. So make sure you have your ears tuned to our podcast feed and eyes peeled on our blog and our YouTube. We'll be posting stuff there regularly. And also Instagram will be posting some pictures from the show floor and from the Xbox media briefing there. And you can find us over there at podtacular.com/Instagram. And our YouTube is podtacular.com/YouTube. And Twitter, Facebook is similar URLs as well. podtacular.com/Twitter, podtacular.com/Facebook. So make sure you do that. We will be skipping out on our normal podcast next week. So the next live stream one may be the Hunt the Truth, maybe not. But other than that, all you're going to see is just us posting out little interviews or clips that we can get during E3. And then, of course, after next week, we'll be coming back the week after to do kind of a overall summary of what we saw at E3. And then after that, we will probably be taking a break because we have done a lot of podcasts over the last 2 months. And by a lot, I mean a lot of podcasts over the last 2 months. Last thing I want to mention is our podcast network. We are part of thepodcast.com. That is thepodcast.com, which has sister podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. If you're looking for some other gaming podcasts to get into, these are some great ones to listen to. They're great for listening on your trip to work or at work or while you're working out, or just if you're looking for some other gaming podcasts, I highly recommend checking those out. And then shout outs to some of our Halo podcasts, our fellow Halo podcasts as well. We have Griffball Hub Cast, we have Podcast Evolve, we have Drunken Halo, we have PGCR. There's a couple other ones out there that I'm probably forgetting. I feel bad about forgetting. But there's quite a few good Halo podcasts out there. So if you're looking for something to kind of keep your ears filled with. There's lots of Halo entertainment out there for you to check out. We will be back very, very soon, and we will be covering our E3 stuff very soon as well. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this fine episode. We will be back here, of course, very soon with more Halo goodness. Until next time, keep on fragging Fire Team's Osiris.